Hey, there you are.
He's back.
Here I am. All right, guys. Hey, well, Orange and Blue News podcast here. We got Brad Sturdy, basketball analyst, John Supini, our columnist, and Kedrick Prince, who does a lot of recruiting stuff for us. And, you know, a lot of news today, breaking news on Illinois basketball and Big Ten basketball. The schedule came out. We know who they're going to be playing, when they're going to be playing them. And, you know, I know, Brad, you've taken a look at it, probably an in-depth look at it. You know, what are some of the things that jump out to you about the schedule?
Well, you know, only playing Iowa once is interesting. Those are probably considered by most people to be the top two teams in the Big Ten. So only playing them once and in Champaign is, although that's nice, I would have liked to seen both those games because, you know, that was a great rivalry at the end of last year. But at the same time, I feel like Illinois starts the Big Ten with a great schedule. I mean, their first 10 games are, you know, all very winnable. They're all games that they may be favored in, to be honest. And so then you run into the second half where it's going to be a little tougher. But, you know, I could see – you can see why they're going to be the favorites looking at that schedule. I think that they got a great shot to win 15, 16 games in the Big Ten. And so if they can do that, that's obviously you know, that's great and gives them an opportunity to – win the Big Ten and get in the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, and probably get a high seed. But of course, they got to get through that non-conference gauntlet, which is pretty tough when you got Baylor and Duke and there, and even Missouri. Although Missouri's down a little bit, it's still Missouri, Illinois, Missouri, and it's at Missouri. And Missouri's used to playing not in front of fans, so that you know they have an advantage there because they never have anybody at their games. So, so I think it's pretty, it'd be good. I like their schedule the way it makes up. I look for them, they're going to add one more game there in that little gap in the non-conference there. And then it should be good. I mean, you know, and we're a week away, you know, next week we have that, the MTE in Champaign. So that's pretty exciting that we're only a week away.
Kedrick, you're there in the Quad Cities and Iowa is just down the road from you. Talk about that a little bit, just getting to play them once. It's in Champaign. Is that a little bit disappointing? We only get to see that matchup between Kofi and Iowa one time.
You know, it's really funny because when the schedules came out, I mean, it was the first thing I looked at, I have to admit, because of what happened last year. If you guys remember, that was the last basketball game that we got to see was the Iowa-Illinois game. And years ago, that was the game. And I don't know, Iowa-Illinois and Indiana-Illinois-Michigan. And when the schedule came out, I mean, even the Iowa fans, I think they were kind of bummed because of the rivalry. And you're right, because of where I live, you know, it was even on the news coverage. We have, you know, CBS, NBC, and ABC. They all talked about it tonight, how disappointing it was. And you would think the Big Ten would know that. You know, I kind of tweeted it, you know, not just from, you know, a fan standpoint, but can you imagine if ESPN or somebody picked their game up? I mean, you know, what it was last year. I like the schedule. Brad mentioned, you know, earlier, it's great. But that's probably the most disappointing thing to me is not having Iowa on that schedule just because it's a healthy rivalry now, especially because both teams are good. You know, Brad Underwood, when he got the job, he talked about playing anybody. He didn't care. If he had a good team, he would play anybody in the country. I don't know if it's true or not, but I was heard he was politicking to play Duke, you know, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge because he knows he has a team. They're older. You know, they're not really young, to be honest with you. So I like the schedule. You know, the Baylor game is really interesting. And, you know, you look back to the 04 and 05 team. I remember they played some teams early. They were winning by 50 and 60 points. So that's early schedule is going to tell us, you know, what this team is going to do early, I think.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of disagreement, I think, among in the media about who the favorite is in the conference. You look at the Athletic and they picked Illinois to win it. Some pick Iowa, some Wisconsin. John, what do you think about that? Michigan State is in the hunt there too, really four teams at the top. And how do you see that kind of playing out? And did you get a chance to look at the schedule today?
Yeah, you know, I looked at the schedule and I looked at, you know, I think you throw those four teams in the hat and we just got to see who's going to stay healthy, who's going to avoid issues with the virus and just how it progresses on down the line. But to me, I looked at the schedule and I kind of looked at it old school. I think, oh, look at these road games, look at these home games. But my question is, is there really going to be a home court advantage this year in basketball? All these gyms are going to be empty. Who knows if there are even going to be any parents there this winter because they're already pulling parents out of the game at the football game at Ohio State this weekend. So, I mean, this could be like, you know, like a summer camp setting or something. That's to me going to be the most interesting thing, because this could have been a really great Big Ten season with some great atmosphere, with the Orange Crush going nuts, the end zone going nuts, the folks over to Indiana turning that place into a, you know, just a, that's one of the craziest places to see a game. But now it's just going to be empty courts, and I just don't know if there's going to be a home court at all. And that's, to me, that's going to be one of the most interesting things as we get deeper in the season, just exactly what does it mean to go on the road?
That's going to hurt Wisconsin, I think, more than anybody. Their gym there is such a home court advantage for them over the years. Don't you think, Brad, that it was a bugaboo for Illinois going in there and trying to pull off wins at Wisconsin? It seems like that's going to be a plus for the teams that are visiting up there this year. Brad?
I think Wisconsin is interesting because I think Wisconsin is interesting because they have such a home court advantage, but they shoot the ball so well at home, and so will they if they're still going to shoot it well, maybe it won't matter. But at the same time, I look at how they shot the end of last year. They shot, I don't know that that's sustainable for a full season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Wisconsin, because I think they might be a team that, although I like them and I think they're a legit top 15 team, I could see them finishing, you know, fourth in the Big Ten. And so they're kind of one of those teams that I'm very interested to see how they develop as the year goes on and how they put it all together. I mean, I thought last year, even though Illinois kind of, you know, Ohio hit the big shots up there in Wisconsin, there was also a situation where they had the one kid who ended up transferring who, you know, looked like Michael Jordan that day too. So it was kind of they have played over their heads, I think, a little bit. And so we'll see how they perform this year. The home court advantage, I mean, you know, Illinois hasn't really had, even with the great crowds, they haven't been as dominant at home maybe as they used to be, you know, over the past few years. So maybe it won't be. I feel like that also some of that, they put so much on themselves or so much hype when they Illinois, because they used to be so dominant. And so I feel like all those guys are trying to do too much. And maybe they might be even better without that extra pressure, because they were such a good road team, you know, over the last year. And so maybe that just playing in a sterile environment, just playing basketball, might be actually even better for them, because although it's going to be televised, it's going to be a totally different dynamic for those games without any fans.
I'll tell you one of my concerns with it, you know, and I don't know, a lot of people haven't talked about it, and I don't know if the Big Ten is going to do the same thing with basketball as they did with football. But, you know, what happens if, you know, Io or, you know, or Luka Garza test positive for COVID, they're out for 21 days. That's going to affect the race in the Big Ten. I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's 21 days. So having a kid, one of your top two or three players, out for 21 days, or even if they're just quarantining for 10 days, a lot of that's going to come into play at some point. It's kind of hard to have kids go through a whole season. You know, look what just happened to the football team a few weeks ago. You know, they lost 9 or 10 guys. So, it stinks. It is, you know, it is what it is. But I don't like the fact of having the thought of having those top kids set out. But I know I know Brad mentioned earlier in the season, Underwood, they did have some guys set out with it earlier already.
Yeah, John, you covered the team for a long time as the beat writer, you know, at the Journal Register. When's the last time you saw a team with this kind of preseason hype? I mean, top 10 nationally. Andy Katz is such a big fan of the Illini. Everybody's expecting big things. You know, when's the last time you saw something like this? And do you think this team is going to live up to the preseason hype?
Well, you know, I think everybody would agree that this is the most hype for an Illinois basketball team since 2005. And you had a lot of experience coming back that year, and you kind of knew really what was going to happen. But these guys, they do have a lot of experience coming back, but I think we expect a lot of things out of the freshmen. And I'm kind of curious to see what they do in the preseason, how much they get out of Miller and Curbelo, and exactly what they get out of the transfers that are going to give them the depth. Brad knows more about that than I do, but to me, this is great hype. It's fun again. I mean, we went through 10 or 15 years where it was just kind of Illinois is playing tonight. Now it's back to where the whole state's going to be energized this winter, and it's going to give us something to entertain us during this whole pandemic thing. We, you know, we need to have some fun, and I think this is going to be the most fun season that we've had in 15 years. When, you know, whether they win the Big Ten or not, there's hope again, there's energy again, there's excitement again. I hated going to the assembly hall when it's half full and it's just dead. It's just no fun. I mean, you remember, Brad remembers, you guys remember the days when you'd go in there, it was sold out with season tickets. They could have done that again this year. I think they legitimately would have done it this year. So this is the most fun, most talked about team since 05. You hear Andy Katz, who's one of the lead national guys anymore, and he works for the NCAA. He loves this team. And it's just, when you're talking about Final Four contenders, you know, I think they're talking about, a lot of people like to throw Gonzaga. They like to throw, who else in there? Gonzaga and Villanova and I guess maybe Baylor.
Baylor.
But if we're looking for that next group, Illinois is right in there. So this, you know, buckle up. This is going to be a great season.
Well, Brad Underwood's got a few good problems to have, you know, as far as the lineup goes. You mentioned the new guards coming in under Curbelo and Adam Miller. Where do you plug them in? Does one of them start? And, you know, Brad, looking at the lineup, the roster, what do you see rotation-wise? You know, do you see a set starting five right now? Who do you see coming in and getting big minutes for them? And how many guys deep do you think Underwood's going to go this year?
Well, in talking to him, it seems like he wants to go literally with 10. I mean, he really thinks he can get 10 guys out there. And obviously, some of that's going to depend on health. You know, a guy like Austin Hutcherson, when's he going to be healthy and able to be in the mix to get playing time? But, you know, there's no doubt that Andre Curbelo and Adam Miller are going to play. How many minutes they play is kind of still up in the air, but I think the one positive, and last year, you know, Iowa was fantastic last year, and he closed a lot of games, and he was great. There were games that, if you look back, there were a lot of games down the stretch. He's playing 37, 38, 40 minutes. And wouldn't it be nice to give him 5 minutes where he could get a blow here and there? And I think they can do that this year because they have the guard depth with Frazier to go along with him, and obviously Curbelo, Miller, and so forth. So, and if Hutcherson can play, and I think it's a really good group. I think they've got a great mix of depth. My guy, you know, I think the Athletic pick, the coaches voted for Adam Miller to be freshman of the year in the Big Ten. My personal take is I love Adam Miller. I think he's going to be really good. I think he can step right into the Alan Griffin role and actually guard somebody and make shots. And so that would be a little different. But I think Andre Curbelo is just fantastic. And he is going to make everybody better. He is so good in ball screen situations, at reading, pitching. I mean, you know, Io shot really struggled on spot ups last year. I think he was in the bottom 40th percentile in spot up shooting. Well, now you got a guy, he's going to catch the ball in shooting rhythm. The ball's going to hit him right in the shooting pocket. He's got a quick release. He'll get that shot off quicker. It won't be contested. He'll make more. Trent Frazier went from 2 years ago, you saw him shoot over 40% from three. This year, last year he was an average shooter. And he's better than that, but his percentages were average. I think you put a guy like Curbelo out there with him, he's going to make more shots. And the same with Miller. I think they're going to make shots. And then obviously I think Hutcherson might be the best shooter on the team. So you've got guys who can make shots, especially when they're going to get the ball put right on the shooting pocket. You're going to put it right in that hand, and it's going to be an easy catch and shoot. And that's such a big part, probably an underrated part of this is how good the pass is when you go in to shoot. And I think Curbelo is going to make everybody better. And he's my pick for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. So there you go.
Kedrick, I know you've seen Adam Miller play a lot. And if you look at the stats from last year, three-point shooting was really the Achilles heel for the Illini. Does he bring that kind of long range to the game where he could be a guy that can really pick it up from long range for him?
You know, you're right. I've seen this kid play since he was a freshman. And, you know, it's too bad that you lose a guy like Alan Griffin. But like Brad just mentioned, you know, you kind of replace him probably with an even better shooter. He's a much, you know, bigger build, especially being a freshman. You know, Coach Underwood talked about one of his press conferences that this is a better shooting team, you know, and, you know, Brad's right, you know, Sturdy's right. Trent was very, very average last year. You know, I did an interview today with Mark Tupper today, and he asked me who I like as the freshman on the team. I said Andre Cabello. I think, you know, if he could bring that kind of incitement that John was talking about back to, you know, State Farm Center to make people better, you know, if he could bring what he did to, in high school to the collegiate level, you know, that's going to be really exciting. One of the things that people don't understand or maybe underestimate, you know, getting the ball, like he mentioned, a good shooting position, or getting guys, Kofi, you know, with his back to the basket where he can finish. You know, another guy people don't talk a lot about, to be honest with you, is Coleman Hawkins. You know, I know Brad likes him and because he can stretch the floor a little bit. He likes shooters. When he was a Stephen F. Austin, that's one thing that he really likes. He likes guys that can shoot the basketball and guys that can guard. And so, you know, last year, you know, Trent really, really, I don't want to say he struggled with it, but I think games were close because he didn't score like he did before. And also Underwood made changes. He took the ball out of Iowa's hand, if you remember, in the second half of the season, and got the ball in Trent's hand, and he was a little bit more active as far as the offense. So I guess what I'm really looking forward to see is if they can shoot 40% from three and, you know, not go to games and they're not behind by 20 points in the first half and expecting Iowa to bail them out. Now, Coleman Hawkins said yesterday that Iowa's a better three-point shooter, you know, than, you know, he's ever been. He's gotten stronger, obviously. We've seen, you know, video footage of him. So that's going to be the key to them, that and rebounding, I think.
Yeah, you know, all this positive vibes about the team, two potential All-Americans coming back, Io and Kofi. And yet, throughout the Illinois fan base, we see some concerns about recruiting. And I know they've missed on a number of kids. And, you know, I'll read off the list. Maybe, no, I don't think the fans want to go over it again. It's kind of painful, but they missed on Jordan Nesbitt, who's going to Memphis, Isaiah Barnes, Michigan, Bryce Hopkins, Kentucky, Brandon Weston, Seton Hall, David Jones, DePaul, and the latest one, Ty Washington, the point guard, combo guard, committed to Creighton just a few days ago. And, you know, John, I know you're a man of the people, a man on the street. So what are you hearing from the fan base out there, from guys that you talk to about recruiting? Have they mentioned the misses? Are they concerned about recruiting?
Yeah, you know, I think they are a little bit concerned about recruiting, but I mean, this kind of season is where you're going to build the momentum again and keep it rolling to where you're going to go out and get bigger and better players. I keep telling people, just relax. I mean, some of these people are going nuts because they haven't seen Curbelo yet, or they haven't seen Miller yet on the court. Just, you know, recruiting is kind of a wave a little bit. You want to get momentum, but I think just let them play this year, win some more big games. And, you know, that winning is what gets it rolling more than anything, I think. And once they have a really big season, it's going to open up a lot more doors all across the country. So I just tell people just to cool out. Just exhale a minute. You can't get them all. So there's only 13 spots or, you know, there's only 13 kids you can get on the roster at a time anyway. So just relax. Underwood will get them. Or Antigua will get them. Just take a pill.
Yeah. The other thing to think about, too, is the guys that might be, you know, you have Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams who can and something they're both considering. So you got two guys who are perimeter guys. So when you're trying to bring in perimeter guys, they know that and they know it's a possibility. And so if that happens, obviously, then you know, even with Io and Kofi leaving, you still bring back some, you know, some really dynamic guys. Now, the key on recruiting for me this year is the big guy, Mac. If they get him, it's a good class. You know, everything else is just kind of, you know, with Luke Goody, and you add Mac, and that's a good class, and then you find the best available players. And there's still some guys out there, whether it's Wesley or Ramsey Melendez, those are two really good guys too. So there's a lot of guys out there, but the thing is, enjoy a top 10 team and enjoy this season. And, you know, and it's great to know who they're recruiting and to see these guys and before they get here and kind of hype them up. But I think that, you know, if you go back, if we actually broke down back in the Bill Self era, it was almost more, you think about all the guys that they missed on. You know, even Bill Self, who's one of the best recruiters in college basketball, maybe, you know, at Kansas, does a fantastic job, obviously. But Bill Self in Illinois, I mean, think about all the guys he missed on that he had on campus, whether it was, you know, a Zeller or Hansborough, you know, go back to those days and you go back before the Ike Diagu and Kalina Hazabuki and those guys that ended up being really good players. But he's getting in with all those guys. He was getting in with all those players, and that's the key. You've got to keep finding talented guys. And he said when it was last night, I think he said, you know, it's not who you miss on, it's who you end up signing. And that's the big thing. We'll see who Illinois gets and, you know, throughout the winter and through the spring. And I think they're going to be okay going forward. I was talking to Chin Coleman the other day, and he told me, he said, you know, we're a top 10 program now, and we don't plan on leaving that spot, and we're gonna get guys that can play, so don't worry. So that's he's pretty positive, so that's good.
Yeah, that was my take on Twitter. You know, I saw a lot of fans really frustrated with the recruiting, and my take was, this is not John Gross. Okay, when John Gross started missing on one guy after another, you got a pretty bad feeling about that, and you didn't really think that they were going to be able to build to what Brad Underwood has built right now. The on the court coaching wasn't very good, and he didn't really have very good recruiters on the staff, except for maybe Jamal Walker. But with this staff and with the way they do things recruiting wise, Orlando Antigua, Chin Coleman, and even Stephen Gentry, who went over to Indiana and got Goody, it just seems like they're there now at that place where they're going to get the players that they need to compete in the Big Ten every year. And that's really what I was saying on Twitter to the fans. And I know Kedrick feels the same way. And talk about that a little bit, Kedrick. How strong of a staff is this recruiting-wise?
I love the staff. I mean, I've seen them in action, you know, and, you know, they're getting kids on campus and they're getting, you know, they're going down to the final with a lot of these kids. But I also understand, you know, how the fans feel. You know, Illinois was great in the 80s and 90s, and you know, then you struggle for years and you're great in 2005. So I get the fact that they're nervous. I mean, I totally understand that, because the one thing they don't want to do is, you know, go through what you went through, Bruce Weber. You get to a high point, then you struggle for another 4 or 5 years. And it's an ugly look when you miss on kids. And then when you know you're in the top 3 or 4, you know, and then you're down to the final two. So I get, you know, some of the frustration with it, but like Chin said to Brad, you know, they know what they're doing. They're going to sign guys who fit the program. You know, Austin Hutchinson is a guy who has him healthy, but he's a guy that people don't know anything about. They're going to find guys. This is a very, very good staff. I've said a long time and a lot of times, this is the group of guys that you got to keep together. If there's one thing that I really don't want to see, I don't want to see either one of those three guys leave, because they're starting to get their name out there. They're good at certain parts of the country, you know, and they're all great. And Orlando is just a legend to me. I mean, it's very rarely does he miss on a kid that he really pursues hard. So the program's in good hands. And like, you know, John Cipini just said, you know what, relax and enjoy it, because the bottom line is, you know, they could be in a situation where they were 4 or 5 years ago, hoping that they can, you know, even win 15 or, you know, 20 games. Just think, what, 2-3 years ago, they lost 21 games. That's the most in school history. Now you got one of the top 10 teams in the country. And so the staff has done well. And I'll tell you, Kofi talked to us about that. That's one of the reasons he came back, was because he believed in the staff and he liked what they all brought to the table. So I have confidence in them. You're not going to get every kid. There's too many kids out there. And, you know, look at the roster. You didn't think you're going to get Iowa. You didn't think you're going to get Adam Miller. You know, we all love Andre Campello. He was a steal. So I think they're going to be okay.
You know, and just so fans know who we're talking about here, you know, the people that Brad mentioned, Macabre Etienne, they call him Mac Etienne. He's a New Hampshire prep school kid. He's a 6'11", real active player in a post. Wesley Cardet and RJ Melendez, both from Florida. I think they're both at prep schools. Is that right, Brad? And those are really the top guys right now that they're looking at. And I'm sure, because they always do, I'm sure that they have Plan B guys, that maybe international guys, Nico guys, who knows. But they always have a Plan B. So we'll keep a look at that. We'll finish up here with a few predictions, putting you on the spot. And let's go John, and then Brad, and then Kedrick. First of all, where do you think Illinois finishes in the Big Ten? And what's their ceiling in March in the Big Dance?
Oh, well, when I'm looking at Illinois in the Big Ten, what I like is their defense. I think they're going to play a great defense. I think that that's going to keep them in a lot of games when they're, if they don't shoot the ball well. I think they're going to shoot it better than last year, but I think that defense is what's going to win a championship. I'd go with Illinois if I was putting money on the table. I'd just go with Illinois more because of the defense than anything else. He's got depth now. Like Brad said, he's going to play 10 players. So just go with Illinois. And if they can get – to me, it's still all about how they get through the season, how they avoid injury, how they avoid the virus deal. And if they can get to March on any kind of momentum, I think they're going to be a tough out. I think they would have been fun to watch last March. I think this team can get to the Final Four. I hope they don't buy into the hype too much. I hope they don't feel pressure from the hype because they got a really tough start to the season with these non-conference games. I hope that they can handle that part of it. But I think this is going to be a team that could really put Illinois back on the map.
Yeah. I kind of echo what John said. The one thing, and obviously some teams you worry about the hype getting to them. The one thing about this team that I really like is that there's an Io is, he's been hyped his whole career. He's a kid who is so – his work ethic is outstanding. He is – I just don't see him allowing this team to not take these games seriously and take every practice seriously and take every – situation seriously. It's just not his mindset is so good at, feeling that focus. But I too like Illinois to finish the top of the Big Ten. Usually some years we look at the schedule and say that's a key factor, especially, when you have 14 teams, you're opening 20 games, you don't play the home and homes. I like Illinois' schedule this year. I like their schedule to win the Big Ten, which should get them a top two seed. I think that allows them to have an opportunity to go to the Final Four. I mean, I think this is the first team probably that has a legit shot to win a national title since 2005 at Illinois. And so even the next year in 2006, I thought they could have been a little bit higher seed and they were close. And, but this is the first team I feel like legitimately has an opportunity to win a national title. And that obviously a lot of things have to go right. The health, the COVID stuff. But I think they can make a run. I thought last year they had a chance to get in the Sweet 16, maybe even Elite Eight, and maybe even surprise and get to a Final Four last year. I thought they were playing that well down the stretch. I feel like they have the right pieces in place. They have the depth. They have size. They have, playmakers. And they have a great closer. They got a guy who wins games. And at the end of when you have close games, the NCAA tournament, how it is. How many times do you see we're watching the one shining moment and guys are hitting game-winning shots? Well, they could just run an Io Jisumu montage and see game-winning shots galore throughout the season. So, yeah, I feel good about their chances. Obviously, it's a weird year, but, they're in a good place.
I hate to be a party pooper and ruin this for everybody. I have to say Iowa, and here's why I'll say Iowa. I mean, I've never seen anybody ever stop Luka Garza.
You could score 20 against Iowa.
Listen, I'm going to get there, okay? Okay, there's a method to my madness. They can score a lot.
We give up 150. We score 100.
I know. Listen, I think I like Iowa, but I think Illinois second. But I think Illinois will go further in the tournament because they can defend and they're deeper. I just look at the game last year in Iowa City when Luka Garza's, I remember Kofi talked about they took away his low post game and then he went outside. And then in Champaign, I think Illinois had a 15, 16 point lead in a matter of seconds. He brought him back by himself. And he is probably the national player of the year preseason, but they don't defend. And I know they're working on that, but I think in the tournament, that may end up biting them and hurting them. And I do like Illinois to go further. I do think Illinois is a Final Four team because of their depth. I think people cannot overlook that because in a tournament, if Iowa got in foul trouble, guess what? You got Andre Corbello to back him up. If Trent's struggling to shoot the basketball, you have Andre Miller. And the one thing people forget about, and no one talks about anymore, is Georgie. Because he struggled so much last year, people forget about him. And I heard he's looked really well. He's going to play the five, and I think he'll be more comfortable. I think from a depth standpoint, because in a tournament, anything can happen. If you're struggling, somebody else steps up. But I just think Iowa's going to be really, really tough. And Brad, you're right. The schedule usually matters, but this year it doesn't matter to me with the schedule. I just think You know, and they also have Jordan Bohannon back. If you remember last year, he was out. That's just a dangerous, dangerous team to me.
Yeah, but they only play Iowa once. Illinois only plays Iowa once, and it's in Champaign.
But the rest of the schedule, that's my concern. So, and I actually haven't looked at Iowa's schedule. I just looked at the fact that Illinois only played them once.
Well, we know we're going to score 100 against them, so that's okay. The four of us. So, we can score. So, Kendrick, I have a question for you. So, looking at that matchup, you talk about Garza, and I agree. I think Luka Garza is the toughest offensive matchup in the country. Like, he can score inside, he can score outside, and he's been fantastic. So who do you think is going to be, you know, you look at last year when he matched up with Kofi, he obviously had the advantage, although, you know, Kofi did block the shot there at the end. But so who's going to make that big step? You know, is Kofi going to grow more? Was Garza maxed out last year? Can he get better? Can Garza have a better year than he had last year, this year? I don't know if he can. I mean, his analytics are so fantastic last year. And his improvement, so does he have more room to grow on the offensive end? Maybe defensively for sure, but offensively.
That is an awesome, awesome question. And here's your answer. And you're right. You know what I'm going to say. You're right. Luka Garza's tapped out. And here's what's impressive to me. I watched Kofi last year, and I wasn't critical, but I had a conversation with Orlando once, and he told me the day Kofi learns to have a go-to move the way Luka does, he's dangerous. Now, I'm not trying to get Twitter hits, but I posted a video on my Twitter a few minutes ago, and I saw Io throw the ball to Kofi, catch it, and shoot a nice, smooth, one-handed hook shot. I didn't see him do that the whole year last year. And so to answer your question, Kofi's ceiling is extremely high. He's way much more athletic because, you know what, you're right, you're going to get what you get out of Luka. But I personally think Kofi's a much better defender than Luka Garza. I just like his ceiling. So I agree with you from that standpoint. And you're right. You know, Luka's going to get his. But Kofi, if he can develop a shot where you know he's going to get a bucket, whether it's a drop step, whether it's the hook shot, regardless of what it is, that's when he becomes dangerous. He told us, actually, the NBA scouts told him that. Once he develops and gets an identity where he can not just only rebound, but to get a shot when he needs to, then that's when you have the potential to see a second team All-American out of Kofi.
The thing I'm looking for is, and this is probably for Kendrick or for Brad, are they going to go with the two big guys rotating at the five and running a bunch of a smaller lineup out there? Because I think that's the best look for those guys.
I think they learned their lesson last year by doing that. I think when you had Kofi and Georgie play together, Georgie struggled. And then when he came off the bench, he was much more effective. And I don't think the pressure is going to be on him. If they can get Coleman Hawkins to maybe knock down a couple shots to play that position that they wanted Georgie to play, I think they're going to be okay. But I don't think you can play both of those guys together. If you look back at the season, we all saw the games. Georgie turned the ball over. You know, he can shoot the three, but he wasn't good percentage-wise. I just don't think you experiment with that this year. And I don't think they're going to. Brad likes, you know, he likes the guards, he likes the wings, and he loves DeMontis. But DeMontis is going to be on the floor.
Yeah, Georgie was good at shooting. It was making that was the problem. So the guy at that position who's going to be the sleeper is Jacob Grandison.
Yep.
He's going to play some stretch four. He handles it. He passes it. He shoots it well. He shot 35% plus for at Holy Cross. So he's a guy who can do some things. So I think you're looking at him. He can play a little bit. I do think there will be some times when they're on the floor together, especially when you're – so let's take Iowa, for example. There might be a situation where Iowa plays a couple of big guys. You'll see Michigan State has done that before. I think you can – play matchups a little bit then. But in general, I think you're going to see Kofi more as a, or Georgie more as a backup to Kofi, which, and let's be honest, Kofi is not going to, you can't run that guy out there for more than 30 minutes a game. It's going to be more like 25. He's going to get in foul trouble. So Georgie's going to get time. And so, there's going to be, but they can play off of each other, give different things to the team.
Okay. So we have two votes for Illinois, one for Iowa, and I'm not going to settle that. I think if you look at their schedules, you look at Iowa and Illinois, there's not a game on either one of their schedules that they can't win, right? They got some tough games. Illinois plays Baylor. They play Duke in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But I feel like over the course of a Big Ten season, you should never count out Michigan State. And, you know, even if you look at their roster, you look who they lost. He lost the face of the program, Cassius Winston. But I'm never going to count out Michigan State, because they know how to they take their lumps early in the season, and when they get to the Big Ten season, they're ready to play and they finish strong. And at the end of the year, you look at the Big Ten standings and you're surprised. There they are, sitting back at the top again. So
all the time.
I'm not gonna go away from that. I'm gonna say Michigan State will win the Big Ten, but Iowa and Illinois, of course, could win it. Wisconsin could win it, you know. But my hot take here is Kofi Coburn. The talk is about the freshman. Talks about Io coming back. I really think that Kofi Coburn is going to be one of the top players in all of college basketball. And I think that he had his year last year as a freshman, put up big numbers, was freshman year in Big Ten. I don't think nationally people really looked at him all that hard. Honestly, I think he's got the potential, you know. And I know people want guys to be the new age big man where you can step out and knock down threes, and you can't do that. But he's so dominant physically. He's in fantastic physical condition. If you've seen pictures of him, you know, on the internet and on Twitter, is Iowa the Big Ten player of the year preseason? But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Kofi Coburn. I think he's the best, going to be the best player. I think he's going to be the best center in all of college basketball. And that includes the guy from Iowa, the team that Kedrick secretly roots for. So, let's go around the horn again and change topics.
Here's a question on that one. So that kind of goes along though with Kofi, you know, they always talk about the biggest jump the players make in their, you know, statistically is going to be their freshman year to their sophomore year. So Kofi's going to have that leap. I think you're right. I mean, he can make that jump. If he makes that jump, he's going to be special. I mean, you know, I don't know if maybe not the best player in the country, but I mean, he's going to be special if he makes that normal jump. So here's a question for everybody. So what if Bo Ryan was coaching Wisconsin? Where would you put him?
When Doug mentioned Michigan State, I thought about Wisconsin because they're one of the most boring teams to watch, but every year they're in the top four. You can never count them out. And I think they return everybody, if I could be mistaken. So that team, no one talks about because they're not flashy, but they're going to be there in the end. I mean, they tied for first place last year. If Bo Ryan was coaching it, I still don't think they win it. I just look at Illinois and Iowa. They have a lot of talent. I can see them finishing the top three maybe, but Illinois and Iowa, talent-wise, is not even close to everybody else, my opinion.
Well, but Bo would be good for probably an extra 3, 4, 5 wins. So it would put them right in the mix. They would lull teams to sleep. You know, they're so fundamentally sound with their footwork and their ball movement, knocking down shots, getting open looks. So, yeah, a coach like that is just like Izzo at Michigan State, a guy like that who's a system guy who just with repetition and practice and an identity that they had every single year. You know, it's like the players were cut out of a mold. They're all the same. They all do the same things, and they just beat you. And the home court advantage for them over the years with Bo as a coach was just it was almost a place where Illinois couldn't go and win. They had so many losses in a row. So, John, I don't know what you think, but it is a different team with the coach now. They're not quite as systemy, if that's a good word. But I think he was good for 3 or 4 wins, definitely. You know,
I think part of it goes back to what are these coaches going to get away with on the home court advantage? I mean, how many years have we gone to Purdue, and all Purdue does is clutch and grab the whole dang game. And are they going to be able to get away with it this year because the crowd's not there and the opposing coaches are going to work it harder? Is Wisconsin going to get away with the same BS up there? I don't know. So to me, maybe this is a year where it's just so unusual and so unprecedented that it's just, it's a summer open gym game where it's the refs aren't badgered by the crowd the whole night. They're not maybe they're not intimidated as much. I don't think this might be a year where they don't get away with the same jump that they get away with all the time at home and home games. So this might be a year where even Bo Ryan couldn't get away with some of that damn magic. So, you know.
So go ahead. I'm going to piggyback on that real quick, John, because I got a question for you. How different are coaches going to have to act without that noise, because we've all sat behind benches. We've heard what they say. I mean, Greg Marshall just got, you know, he just got canned. You've got Pat Chambers got in trouble. I mean, so you look at the history. I mean, a guy like Bobby Knight couldn't coach today, but even Underwood, I mean, we've heard him get into guys. I mean, you know, but people up in the C section, B section can't hear that. And the band's playing, and most of the people aren't paying attention. The Orange Crush, they're drunk. So they're having a good time back behind us. And so we hear what's going on there. And if people who aren't really into sports would look at that, some of that stuff, and be like, oh my gosh, you really say that? I can't believe, you know, they would say, and Izzo's another one who, you know, we've heard Izzo get chastised with an empty arena. Mm-hmm. Do they have to change the way that they coach?
Yes.
Is Brad, it going to be different?
Yes, Brad, you and I think just alike. I knew you were going to ask that question, because I remember at least three times last year during a game, I will look at you and I will say, did I just hear that? There's no way. They're going to have to change it, because some of the stuff that they say, it is priceless. It's worth sitting in a press row, because it's going to be quiet. And so, and you know, the TV is going to pick it up. So they're going to have to change. And I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be as vulgar, you know, as it once was, but I think you're going to hear coaches be aggressive. And the one guy, I think this is, you know, off topic, but I think the coach that cries in the Big Ten more than anybody in the Big Ten, I got to go to Maryland. That guy cries every single time, and he's not nasty about it. He really isn't, but it's just old hearing it. And Coach Underwood is slick. He's really, really sarcastic. And I think if the fans get a chance to hear him on the sidelines, you're going to see how analytical and how smart and intelligent he is. Because sometimes he knows a call's bad, and he'll give them that look, or he'll say something under his breath. But he's good. A guy who's fun to watch is going to be in Iowa, because he is priceless.
You know, this reminds me of, I don't know if you guys were there. It was about, I think it was when Kruger was there during the tough season they had, and it was a Saturday afternoon game. The students were gone, and it was Northwestern. And Kevin O'Neill was dropping F-bombs after F-bomb, and it was quiet. And all the blue hairs in the A section were just like their jaws were dropping open. The network sound engineers this year, they're going to be hitting that button, deleting some of the noise coming up. So they're going to have to turn up the crowd, the fake crowd noise or something, to cover up these guys.
And even the players.
5 second delay this year. It may be like they may have to go 15 second delay, just because.
Yeah. Okay, let's go around the horn again and finish up on a high note here. Illinois goes to Nebraska on Saturday to play in an empty Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, 11 o'clock kickoff. Let's start with John and then Brad and then Kedrick. Give me a final score, Illinois at Nebraska on Saturday.
Illinois at Nebraska on Saturday. It's about a 14-point line. I think Illinois will cover the line but lose. I'd like to see Brandon Peters come out and throw the ball around a little bit. I'd like to see them play Isaiah Williams somewhere other than quarterback, to where they can play Peters and Williams at the same time. Figure something out to where they can really be dynamic in it. But I think Illinois loses 28-24.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't know that, you know, Illinois can stop anybody. I have concerns about their defense. I agree with you completely. I feel like, I like the players they have on defense. I don't like their scheme. But so I look at their offense, and I agree with you. I'd love to see Williams and Peters on the field together. I would love to see them actually use Luke Ford. I mean,
who's
this
that
guy who was like this from Georgia? Luke Ford, he's getting transferred, I heard. He's supposed to be good. I don't know. I saw him run over last week. That was it. So these guys, and I think it's creativity. Like, find a way to get Williams on the field with Peters. Find a way to get Luke Ford. Get your best players on the field. Find a way to put them in positions to win. Barker, and I get it. Barker's very good too. I like Daniel Barker. Get Luke Ford and him together on the field together with Isaiah and Brandon Peters. They could all play at the same time. It's crazy. Like, you can do that. It's like we need to almost go. Underwood needs to go over there and talk positionless football with Lovie. But I think this team has more individual talent than maybe they've shown. I'll take Nebraska, though. I think they're going to score about 34 points, and I don't think Illinois can put up that many points. So I'm going like 34-24 or something like that, Huskers. Although, you know, it'd be great if they pulled out a win. Maybe they – a little magic and like they did last year at Michigan State.
Well, yeah, but they could if they put Williams on the field at the same time as Peters, they would score more points. Did you see the kid last weekend? That was unbelievable. Play the kid. I don't care where he plays. Just give him the ball a little bit.
I agree. I also don't think they will do that. So there you go.
They won't do that.
Well,
Kedrick, what's your score, man?
I see a 40. What? Did you say something about Iowa again, Brad?
We're not playing Iowa. It's Nebraska.
You know what?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to lose my credentials for this. No. I don't see them stopping anybody. I see a 40-24 loss. They haven't proven that they can stop anybody. You know, Brad, you're right. I think they have the players. I don't like the scheme that, you know, that they use. If they're going to play Isaiah Williams, I want to see him play some quarterback, but I don't want to see them just put him in there to run the football. That's going to be so predictable. If you're going to play Brandon Peters and then you put him in the game, you know it's going to be a running play four straight times or three straight times it's going to be done. How he does it, I don't know. It's been kind of disappointing if you guys really think about it. This was a year they were supposed to be competitive, and they just looked flat to me. Yeah, they beat Rutgers. They should have beat Rutgers. You know, those are games that they should win with the kind of talent that they have coming back. But I think you're going to have to throw the ball to beat them, and you also have to run the ball like they did last week. But if they don't stop people, I think it could get really ugly.
Now I'll have the preview out tomorrow on Thursday, and I'll have Nebraska 38, Illinois 20. And you're right. All three of you are right. Of course, they can't stop anybody. They can't stop the pass, especially. Nebraska's got a dual threat quarterback who can run or pass. He can throw. He's relatively competent throwing the football. And we saw against a not very good quarterback for Rutgers last week that if you can throw the ball 15 yards, you're going to complete a lot of passes against Illinois. This kid McCaffrey can. Adrian Peterson killed him last year. He's a dual threat guy. I think he killed him 2 years in a row. And McCaffrey can make plays with his feet. And they're going to run read option with him. They're going to run quarterback draws, design runs. And Illinois can't stop them. And I think Brandon Peters is going to show some rust, but they will have a better passing game. And I think Rod Smith, the offensive coordinator, does understand that he has a dilemma on his hands. He understands that this is a better running team with Isaiah Williams. He understands it's a better passing team with Brandon Peters. How do you get creative with that and put the ball in Isaiah's hands when the defense doesn't know that it's coming? We saw last year, if you just throw him out there, like Kedrick said, in running situations, they're going to stack the box and you're not going to gain any yards. So they got to figure that out. And like John, I want to see them both on the field at the same time. You know, Isaiah in the slot, Brandon Peters under center. Find a way to put the ball in the guy's hands who can make guys miss. And I don't think they're going to do it. They've had 2 years to do it now, a year and a half to do it, and they didn't do it. And I think the fan base and a lot of the people in St. Louis and the people around Isaiah Williams, they're going to start showing some real frustration if he doesn't get the ball in his hands and start making an impact. So round the horn one last time, and just give me a yes or give me a no. Does Lovie Smith survive at the end of this season, John?
I would say yes, but he shouldn't.
Brad?
I think he'll be alive. So he'll survive. I don't think if they finished 2-6, 1-7, or whatever, 2-7, or 1-8, whatever it is, I don't think he should be retained. I mean, this was their year. A lot of guys coming back. I don't think he should be retained. I think he will be. I don't think he'll go anywhere.
I think he's coming back just from a financial standpoint. They're not in a position, and I think his buyout is too big. And, they can use COVID as an excuse. I know people are restless. Doug, you and I signed the press box last week. People are restless. You know, you can see it. People are frustrated. He'll come back. Whether he should or, shouldn't, that remains to be seen. But I'll say this before I go. The one thing I agree with Doug, if Isaiah doesn't see the field, the people in St. Louis are going to become restless. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hard to get recruits out of there again.
And I'm going to agree for all the same reasons. Yes, Levy will be back for a sixth year next year. So we'll be talking about Levy ball again in 2021. So, all right, guys, thanks so much. A lot of good stuff from all of you, and I hope the fans enjoy it. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.